Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
All right. Now, these notes are going to be on the website, so you can go download them, and you don't even have to worry about it. You can just let me talk a million miles an hour. Are you ready? Just sit back and say, "Lord, thank you. Your word's going to wash over me today. I'm going to get refreshed and blessed in Jesus' name." Here we go. Okay, 2015, here we go. You ready? 2015, we're jumping into a new year. Started last week, talked a little bit about this next slide, which is... It's the next slide. It's right here. It's right there. There it is. Change. Change. How many know you got to change? I went to Barbados. We had a little afternoon. We got to run down to the beach, and I looked at all the skinny European men, and I went, "Oh, my God." Okay, so... My wife said, "You need to shave off that beard. I saw you walking down the beach towards me. It was this little chubby guy with a gray beard. Let's get rid of that." And I went, "Man, change. So much going on all at once, you know." But you know, sometimes we enter in a new year and it's all of this change, things you want to do, blah, blah, blah. And you can get all messed up. And you can really turn into your performance and things. I like the word of the Lord today was, you know, I don't really care about your strategies. I want you to embrace mine. You know, and the beautiful thing is you can have the mind of Christ. And when you get into his word, and he says, when you get into his word, I love John 15:7. It says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you want and it'll be done for you. You know why? Because you're abiding in his word and you're abiding in him. You're hooked up in his word. You're hooked up in his presence. You know what? Everything in you is aligned with him. Therefore, God starts to watch over what you say. And you start speaking things that are in line with the kingdom. And God says, whatever you say, it'll be done for you. I love that verse. It's good, isn't it? But it happens when you completely align yourself with kingdom. You know, so then I add another slide here as John 15:5-16. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit." Amen. It's, you know, a real simple thing. Abide. Are you abiding? You know, God promises much fruit, but your part is simply to abide. And you know, if there's no fruit, if there's no demonstration of his life, because he's the one, the sap is flowing from him. He's the vine, you're the branches. And he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I mean, that's pretty strong, isn't it? How many think, well, I could do some stuff. I've done stuff. Well, God says, apart from me, zip, nothing. He says, you can do nothing. And then later on, it says, I have appointed you that you should go, and God has appointed us to bear fruit. And if you're hooked up with him and he's the vine, trust me, you should be bearing fruit because he is constantly releasing a flow of his life towards you. So he said, I want you to bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. So there is no genuine change apart from him. Nothing can happen apart from him. So it's got to find its root. It's got to find its place in him. Then we gave you this slide, be the change. Be the change. And you know, there's people, be the change. The only problem with be the change is that might originate with you. And you might be thinking something needs to change. So you decide, I'm going to be the change. I'm going to make it happen. And I thought that's a neat phrase, but I like this phrase better. This one here, it says, be the kingdom. Be the kingdom. You know, be so tied up. There's a king and he has a domain. There's a king and he's the king of your life and he is the Lord of your life. You know, some people say, I ran into a person I had to deal with this week who had a personal Lord and Savior. It was his personal Lord and Savior. But I mean, you need to have the personal Lord and Savior. You need to have the Lord and Savior, not somebody you framed your own, because the God that he served was going to let him do all kinds of crazy things. And I said, that just doesn't fit. And it's sad when that, you know what? Don't be the change. Be the kingdom. Be a manifestation and expression of God. So that was really it last week when I was saying, God, what am I going to tell these people this week? I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, I want to lay down a track for them. I want to put them, I want to give them some stuff that can just send them into this year and launch them. And he said, tell them this. He said, tell them to do one thing this year. That's what he said to me. Tell them to do one thing this year. Now, one thing, and so last week we went through all kinds of places in the scripture where one thing is important. And you know, the one thing really is, get hooked up with him. David said, one thing I desire, one thing. Jesus said, one thing is important. One thing to the rich young ruler, one thing you're missing. But do the one thing. You know, if you do the one thing, and if you keep that simple, if you keep that one priority that God is first, it's his voice, it's what he wants to do. You know, let me really oversimplify it. Just do what he's telling you to do. Just get wrapped up in him and abide in him. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Not doing witnesses, not trying to do stuff, but being who you are. Being, manifesting your relationship with the Holy Ghost. The message says you'll get, what you'll get is the Holy Spirit. He's going to come. He's going to let you in, and he's going to unpack to you all the things you've already received in this relationship in Christ. He's going to unpack for you and show you all the things you've already received. It says the Holy Spirit comes, you will be able to be. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will be able to be my witnesses, even to the ends of the earth. Fireballs going through, breaking barriers, touching the nations of the earth this year. Can I get a hallelujah? All right, Acts chapter 10, 38 and 39. Here's Peter preaching. He says, I want to tell you about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did. We are now witnesses. We are now those torchbearers. We're now running and doing what he did. But here it is. There was a man named Jesus. And the whole difference in his life was simply this. He didn't have all kinds of knowledge. He didn't learn a lot. He wasn't rich. He wasn't amazing. He wasn't blah, blah, blah. It was all about he was anointed by God. That is simply the whole story. And that is the whole story about God wants to do. It says Jesus wants to invade this earth by anointing you and saturating you with the goodness. So when Jesus was anointed, he was a noticeably different man. Look what the scripture says. It says Luke 4:29, and they led him to the brow of the cliff of their city to throw him over the cliff. I mean, they knew this guy. They went to synagogue with him every week. And then suddenly he's gone for a little while, and he comes back out of the wilderness, and he opens the scriptures, and he says, I am the anointed one. This word is fulfilled in your hearing. And they went, what? They even went, wow, he's speaking with such authority. This is incredible. Like, they all thought, this is amazing who he is. But it was so offensive to them that their only response to that was, this guy's nuts. Let's go throw him off a cliff. There's something different about him from a few months ago. He's so nutty. Let's throw him off a cliff. So how many of you have been dragged out and wanted to be thrown off a cliff recently? I mean, you're so different. The only response is, we need to get rid of you. Oh, my goodness. That's because there's something so radically different about him, they couldn't even handle it. Then Mark chapter 3, 20, 21, then 31, says his family heard about things he was doing. They heard about what he was ministering, what was happening. And it says they went to take charge of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. I mean, this is Mary who had a baby by the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is somebody who came and said, I'm pregnant, I'm going to have a kid, and God did it. Now, that wasn't crazy, but now my son's acting crazy. So, I mean, what she went through, which was pretty crazy, I mean, that's pretty amazing to say my firstborn was not by Joseph, but by the Holy Ghost. How many think that's a bit different? Well, that happened to her, and yet what her son is doing right now, she wants to go take hold of him and say, he's out of his mind. Why? Because there's something radically different about my son and the way he's living his life right now. Something incredibly different. Going on. Can I get a hallelujah? I'll give you another verse. You ready? Look at this one. It says Matthew 8:27. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man? Literally, that word kind is like he's a different species. Like, what kind of bird is this? It's because it's different. They literally saw him get in the boat, and then he spoke to the storm and said, peace, be still. They're like, whoa. Who does this kind of stuff? I mean, who literally... I mean, we just saw him take, we were there, we got two little fish and five loaves, and a kid came and said, Mama, pack me a lunch, because she said, that Jesus guy, he preaches for a long time and walks in the wilderness, so you better take some biscuits and a couple sardines. But this kid, when he heard you guys were looking for food, I got some, and I know you need to feed all these people, but I'm willing to surrender to Jesus just what I got. I believe something amazing can take place. And then the disciples partnered in, because it says it multiplied in their hands. It wasn't like Jesus went, boom, and the sardine grew to 7,000 pounds. Look at the size of that thing. Now cut them up and feed everybody. No, literally, as they went out breaking it, it was multiplying in the baskets. And then the little boy, what did he get? Was it 12 baskets full? So he came home with 12 baskets full. His mom's going, what's that? He goes, I sowed my lunch into Jesus, and I got back more. How do you know he took it home? Because that's the way it works. That's the way it works. You get, if you sow, you get to reap. Amen. I can see Judas going, we could sell that. We could open a little snack bar over here. Anyways, listen, there is something distinctly different about Jesus. Hello. Woo! Sorry, pardon me. Fell down. Something so different about Jesus. All right. Look at this. Jesus didn't come to be my moral example. Amen. You know, we're all these churches, we're given history lessons about Jesus. He gave us a lot of moral teachings. He was a wonderful example for us. And we're all here trying to be like him. You don't have to try to be. When you get born again, you literally are born again. You are literally transformed. Everything in you, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You've been in Christ and you're in him and he's in you. And you get to now what he was doing, you get to do everywhere so that people go, what kind of a person is this? And that's really what it is. And you know how you do it? It's simply abiding in him, right? I mean, here's Jesus comes. He didn't come to be the moral example. John the Baptist said, here's his ministry. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. That's the ministry of Jesus. It wasn't to be a moral example and do good stuff. His ministry was to come and to lay down his life so that now God had all authority and he had every right to baptize his creation with his spirit. To take that anointing that was on Jesus and to smear all of his creation now with that same anointing. That was the whole purpose of Jesus, to get everything else smeared with the glory. All right, I got to move on. Say, move on, Pastor. Acts chapter 11, 10 to 26. It says there in Antioch, it says the people went and they spoke to the Hellenists or they spoke to the Greek people. Can you imagine? They started a church up in Antioch and they, instead of just talking to Jewish people, they started talking to other folks. Oh my goodness. But in this church, they started preaching the Lord Jesus and the hand of the Lord was on them. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means the hand of the Lord, which means that their lives were marked. There was something different. It was obvious that there was something else forcing itself through their lives. The hand of God was evident. You would see them walking around, and they didn't just have two hands, they had three. The hand of the Lord was on them. They had a third hand. How many think that would be really weird? That guy has three hands. And the other hand looks like the hand of God. The hand of God was on them. They looked like super freaks because they lived a life out of this realm. They operated out of heaven because what's on their life is the blessing of the Lord. Say amen. I know you had a little snow. It was a little cold. Get over it. My goodness. Come on. Look what it says. Then it says, great number believed, turned to the Lord when they came. And they Barnabas went and they saw the grace. They saw it. People see grace. They can see grace. What is grace? It's the charis. It's the grace of God. It's the power of God. It's the nature of God. It's all that God is seen on their lives. And it says this is the place where they were first called Christians. Christians. What is Christians? It's the Greek word Christianos. Christianos. Emphasis on the end os. Christianos. Christians like Christos. But now there's a whole bunch of Christianos. So we had just Christos, but now we've got Christianos. See, that's the whole purpose. Is if we only had one Jesus in the world today, he'd be somewhere. And if he was there, he couldn't be here. But now, because of what he did, the Spirit of God doesn't just get to be on one person. He's now baptized a whole corporate body of people who can manifest Christ in us, the hope of glory. Be the kingdom! Be the kingdom! Where's all the happy people today? Are they over in this section? Are they over in this section? Are they over in this section? Oh, they're over here. Praise God. You folks are dismissed. Be the kingdom! All right, let's fly. Say fly. Let's fly. The anointing. What is the anointing? Pastor, it's the person and power of the Holy Ghost working through humanity to accomplish the or a divine purpose. 1 John 2:27 says that we have the anointing. We have it. The sacred appointment, the unction to function. We've got it. We received it from him. Say received. You didn't achieve it. You received it. When you believed, you got whacked in the anointing. It looks different for Faye, I know, but nonetheless, she's whacked. Ugh. You all got it. And I love the way the Amplified says it, because you got it and you received it. And that which you received, it abides in you only when you're good. It abides in you only. It's permanently in you. It was the choice of God to anoint you. He has smeared you and waxed you in the Holy Ghost. It is finished. It is done. You are anointed. Now be the anointing. I'm waiting on God. Stop it. It's finished. It's done. I hope we have a good service today. Be the good service. All right, let's go, Pastor. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's move on to the next slide. Are we ready? The next slide. What's it say? Matthew chapter 11, 28, 29. We talked about that. It says, don't get burnt out in religion, but embrace the unforced rhythms of life. Get hooked up with him. Get yoked with him. Jesus is saying, if you'll get in partnership with me, it'll be light and it'll be easy. The load's going to be not so hard. And you know, you'll be able to just walk in the glory of God. He says, I won't allow anything ill or heavy fitting on you. Keep company with me and you're going to walk in the goodness. Amen. So religion will kill you. Galatians 5, 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Say in the Spirit. Romans 8, 14, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So being led by the Spirit of God is in our DNA. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. You were born into something new. You have a new radar. You are hooked up in a different way. You are led by the Spirit of God. You live in Him. You walk in Him. There is a place called in the Spirit, and you're there. You're there. There's a place called in the Spirit. And as believers, we must operate in another realm. That's the realm we're called to live out of. No other environment will be fruitful for us to walk, to pray, to worship. We got to live in the Spirit, because that's where you are every single day. All right. Now we talk about this fellow Saul. Now it says Saul was anointed. Remember Saul back in the Old Testament? They wanted a king. They're looking for a king. And so Samuel's seeking the Lord. He says, this is terrible. He says, that's all right. Let's give them what they want. But then God gave him a message. He said, this is someone I've chosen to be king. And in 1 Samuel 10:6, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord, this is Samuel talking to Saul. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you. You see, Saul was out looking for donkeys. His dad had lost a few donkeys, and Saul was looking for donkeys. Maybe you came here today looking for donkeys. Maybe you think I'm a donkey. If I am, I'm a donkey carrying the anointing. Hee-haw, hee-haw. And that's all I got to be, is a carrier. That's what's important. So then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. He said, you are called. You're going to be anointed to be the king. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you and it's going to turn you into another man. Amen. All the wives said, amen. He's going to turn you into another man. It's being smeared by the person of the Holy Ghost. That's what's really important. In the old covenant, it was kings and prophets and priests who got smeared by the Holy Ghost. But here we are. We live in a better covenant called the new covenant. And every single believer is smeared with the anointing of God. Every single one. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us because of Jesus finished the work as the prophet, priest, and king. He now has called us to be prophets, priests, and kings. In fact, in Revelation, it says he made us to be prophets, priests, and kings. You've been made. It's got every one of us called to be smeared. Let me move along. Come on, Pastor. Okay, 1 Samuel 15:35. I'm ahead of myself. So here's Saul. He's a terrible example. It says that Saul started well. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. So he started well. Then the next slide. See, we see a carnal failure, because then it says, you did foolishly, you've not kept the commandment of the Lord. The Lord would have, say would have. So now, you know, Saul wasn't a bad choice. Saul was the choice. God would have, he says, I would have established your kingdom, the kingdom over Israel forever. So God was standing behind the anointing, the selection of Saul, and he said, you are called forever. He wasn't just a bad choice until David popped up. David would have never popped up. Saul and his family would have been the line forever, but he said, you would have been. So we see a very, very carnal failure that took place in the life of Saul. And then the next verse, next one is 2 Samuel 1:21. David heard about the death of Saul and Jonathan. Now look what he says. He says, the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul as though. Say as though. See, he didn't lose the anointing then. He died in the field as though he wasn't anointed. He didn't die because he lost the anointing. He died as though he wasn't anointed, because he stopped living out of the anointing and dependence on God. Even though he still had the anointing, he still had the ability to be hooked up to God, he chose to resist that, and he chose to live a carnal life, even though he had access to the glory of God. What's sad is you all got total access to God and His glory, and some of us sometimes successfully live out of the natural realm. You don't have to. You can live every moment of your life out of the glory of God. In fact, you have access to that right now, not only when there's a good service or there's something good going on, but every day of your life as a believer, you have access to the divine presence of God, His power, His resources in your life every day. Every day. So that was, you know, he had a carnal failure, tragic end, and then there was a terrible thing, and it was grieving to everybody. Let me give you seven things. You ready for seven things? Giving it to you really fast. Here it is, right here. Seven actions that quenched the flow of the Spirit in his life. You ready? Told you. Did I tell you? I don't know if I told you, but it's a 28-point sermon, but I've tried to manufacture it into three just to confuse you. But anyway, point two. Seven actions that quenched the flow of the Spirit. You ready? Number one, insecurity. He got insecure. In 1 Samuel 13, 3-4, Jonathan won an amazing victory. But what the people got to hear was Saul won a great victory. So Jonathan won a great victory, but Saul couldn't even exalt his son. His son won an amazing victory, but when it all got home and they started to sing songs about the victory, they said, hasn't Saul won a great victory today? Saul won a great victory. And there's Jonathan going, actually, Dad wasn't even there, but that's awesome. He wouldn't even allow his son to be praised for doing something good because he was insecure. Please show you're not insecure. Turn around and praise somebody near you right now. My, your teeth look wonderful today. I'm surprised at the fragrance of your breath right now. It's wonderful. You're so awesome. But a lot of people can't praise somebody else. They can't elevate somebody else about themselves. But when you come to church, it's not about you. It's about every other person in the room feeling better than you. Jesus came to exalt us, not to exalt himself. He came so that he could give himself so that we could be lifted up. And you see, that's what it's all about. Insecurity will not take the anointing from you, but it'll quench the flow out of you. People are grossly insecure. And in chapter 18, 7 and 9, that was also, what was that, chapter 17? Trying to remember off the top of my head. Oh, yes, use the phrase, Saul jealously eyed David. He jealously eyed David. See, when you get jealous and you get into comparison and you let insecurity run amok in your life, it was like me walking down the beach with my gray beard hanging out and my all together and looking at these skinny guys. I'm like, I'm going to go put my shirt on. In fact, I'm going to go back to the room. I mean, no, not me. I was bold and proud going, any of you guys got one of these? Look at you poor skinny people. I'm the envy of the whole beach. I said, you know what I'm doing today, Cheryl? I'm making a lot of people feel good about themselves right now. They're all going, man, I'm glad I'm not that guy. God bless you. And a lot of people going, that poor woman with that guy over there. My wife came to me. I'm laying on the beach. She came to me, said, you know what? You're as tall laying down as you are standing up. I said, you did say that too, didn't you? It's no wonder I'm not insecure about stuff like that. But praise God, I'm very secure. Amen. I'm very comfortable in my own skin. But a lot of people aren't. And you know what? Insecurity, something simple like that, it wrecked the anointing in Saul's life. It quenched the anointing in his life. It wrecked Joseph's fleshly confidence. I mean, he constantly trusted in his flesh and he trusted in his own ability to do things. And you know, God spoke to us today and said that I am not going to bless your stuff. He says, I'm going to tell you stuff to do. Do the stuff I tell you to do, and everybody's going to benefit. It's going to be all good. But the minute you step outside and try to do it on your own, I'm not into that. Find out what I want to do, and I will speak to you, and I'll make it very clear to you. But if you do what I ask you to do, everything's going to be good. This is not a year of me coming alongside. Well, what do you want to do now, Carl? What do you want to do? What do you want? Find out what I want to do, and everybody's getting blessed. But you see, Saul took things in his own hands and he wanted to do things himself. It says the people, he went and he knocked out all the Amalekites, but not all of them. It says, and he brought them some of the choice things back, and he brought the king of Agag back, and he did all of this, and he wanted to have a sacrifice. And he didn't just want to have a victory out in the field and come back with nothing, even though God said, go out there and destroy everything. He kept some and brought it home, and then the Samuel wasn't showing up in time to do the offering. So Saul was getting all freaked out, going, hey, we got to do something. We got to do this. I have to act now. He said, I forced myself, therefore, to act because I can't wait for you. The people were important, which leads us to another thing, compromise. He said that God wanted him to utterly destroy everything, to utterly destroy it all. But he thought, I want to compromise, you know. I'm going to make up my own plan. And you compromise when you say, I'm going to custom fit God's plan for my life. I know he wanted me to destroy everything, but I'm going to bring back Agag and some of these other things because I know a little bit better than God how it works. Don't compromise in what he told you to do. Well, it pretty much did it all. But you cannot compromise, which leads us to the next one, which is presumption. He put himself in the place, and he said, I had to do the offering. I had to do it myself. He got into a place of presumption. He presumed that he could step into the office of a prophet, and he could do the sacrifice. There's times where in relationship we need to do things and align ourselves with things. And there's sometimes we don't think it's happening the right way. And we won't submit to our relationships and we get presumptuous and we take things in our own hand. Number five, fear of man. He was afraid that the people wouldn't have a great show. And we got to do stuff for the people. What about the people? And Samuel said, I'm not into it. I'm going away. He says, don't go away. I know God's rejected me, but at least for the sake of the people, can't we do a sacrifice and put on a show? And there's people still do that today with ministries. There's no anointing on their lives, but they still do the show because they're afraid of the people. If you're not anointed, stop, resign, step down, get over yourself. And then get restored, get back in the game, but quit playing. It's pretty obvious. But he felt, let's at least do the show, Samuel. I mean, we can't leave the people hanging. That was good, Pastor. Thank you for that. All right, then refusal to change. He said, you did not obey the Lord. And then he literally said, but I did obey the Lord. He said, no, you didn't. I can hear the bleeding of the sheep. I can see Agag. You didn't. But I pretty much did. Come on. I did. You know, when God calls you to do it and do it all the way. And you wonder why. You know, you do all this partial obedience and you custom fit God's plan for your life. And you wonder why there's no breakthrough. It's not because you're not anointed. It's because all these things have kind of impinged on the flow of God in your life. So then there's just, it gets to outright total rebellion. It says that the rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. And then sure enough, we find Saul can't find the mind of God. So he actually goes to a witch to try to find out what's going on. So it can lead you to a place of a total mess. Can I get an amen? Now I just want to give you five things. Did you get that? Man, I'm telling you. Here it is. It's all there. You can study it yourself. But instead of reading the text, which I was going to do, let's just look at this whole thing. There's five keys to walking in the Spirit. You got Saul was off looking for donkeys. Say, looking for donkeys. I wasn't looking to be king. I wasn't looking for anything. My dad told me, go find the donkeys. So I was looking for donkeys. So here he is looking for donkeys. Now, sure enough, he's out looking for donkeys. And then Samuel, he's seeking the Lord. And Samuel gets a revelation that the guy that I am going to anoint as king, he's going to come across your path today. And so he finds that out. Then he sees him. He says, there's the one that God is speaking about. So here's what he said. He said, first of all, you're going to be turned into another man. You're going to experience just a whole experience that's going to put you into a whole new position. You're going to be a different kind of person, just like Jesus was a different kind of person. And you're called to be a different kind of person. With that third hand protruding from your life. I'm going to make a picture of the third hand. Number one, he said, follow me. Come on up here. Come up here. Follow me. That whole thing is you got to come away. You got to come up. You know, sometimes you got to leave the familiar things. You got to come up. So follow him. Do what he tells you to do. Follow him. The second thing is he said, forget about the donkeys. The donkeys are going to be found. Don't worry about it. And you got to forget about the past, forget about the donkeys, forget about everything else. It's all taken care of. You're not going to be disobedient to daddy. The donkeys are all taken care of. Forget about that. Focus yourself now. And the next thing was, he says, come up here, we're going to feast. And then he threw a big feast, and then he took the honored portion and he gave it to Saul. Feast on the honored portion. Know that you're favored. Know that you're honored. Know that you, God honors you, and there's favor on your life. You've got to know what it is to feast with him. And feast as a king. Feast as an exalted individual. Feast on the favored portion. All those notes are going to be on our website. So you can, how many are going to go and study them this afternoon? Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Next thing was fellowship. He said, now everybody else is going to go away. I'm going to send them all away. But you come. Come here, spend some time with me. There's times where if you're going to let this anointing flow in your life, it is fellowship, intimacy, abiding is incredibly important. Now, the next thing is your future. is then he began to speak about his future. He gave him several signs. He said, this will take place. Very specific things. He said, this will take place. This will take place. This will take place. And when Saul left, everything that was spoken took place. All the people he would run into, all the things he would see. He said, these are all signs to you to confirm and affirm to you that your future is secured and you have a destiny. Now, one more slide. You ready? Here it is. It says, the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. He said, the Lord has anointed you to be the captain. And I got the King James Version because I like it best. I love that. I just love captain. I like that word. But listen now, the Lord, and I want to say this to you. The Lord has anointed you to be the captain of his inheritance. You are. There's a deposit of God. There's something in you that God wants you to captain. He wants you to steward. And he said this to Saul. He said, Saul, there is something that God has for you. And he has anointed you for an amazing purpose. And God is going to anoint you to be the captain over his inheritance. That's amazing stuff. But you see, there's something in you. There's a call of God on you. There's something God has you to do. And you can expand that. You can push it into even more with your stewardship. But there's something God wants you to do that you are the captain of. Not Cheryl's not the captain of what I'm the captain of. And she's the captain of her own destiny. There's something in you that God has placed you as the captain of a destiny, which is powerful. God wants to richly smear you with the Holy Ghost so that you become the steward of something significant now in your life. Oh, that's nice. Hope it's not snowing right now. Wonder if it's still cold outside. Wonder what that picture with the third hand would look like. Hello! You... God says you are the captain of a purpose that's from me. You got responsibility for it. Now, here's what happened to Saul then. Saul ran into a situation where he had a disruption. Say disruption. You know, there's times that God will come and there'll be a disruption. There'll be something that'll happen. I mean, he ran into the prophets and suddenly he began to prophesy. And people went, is he a prophet too? Look at him. He's woo-ta-da-da-ba. Yeah, the Lord would say, oh. Something happened. There was a disruption that took place in his life. There was a mighty touch of God. Have you had a mighty touch of God? Have you had a mighty touch of God? Have you? Have you had a mighty touch of God? Do I have to? Yes. The anointing is a mighty touch of God. The anointing is the person and the power of the Holy Ghost on your life. Have you had a mighty touch of God? It's a touch of God that will literally cause you such a disruption that you're turned into another person. There's a deposit of God that takes place that says you're turned into another man. I'm just getting used to myself as I am now. Just had some psychotherapy. I'm just starting to get all my duckies in a row. You know what? You can have one encounter with God and it's all over. You really believe that? I absolutely believe that. I am that person. I really am. I won't even tell you my testimony. It's too frightening. I literally got whacked in the Holy Ghost, disrupted, and there was a deposit of God that turned me into another man. But I love it. Here's what God said to him after that. Here's what he said. Then there's a decision. There's a decision. Do whatever you think is best. God will be with you. See, there's a disruption, there's a deposit, there's somebody now who's aligned with the mind of Christ, completely aligned with eternity, eyes to see, ears to hear, a mouth to speak, a living, walking portal of the glory of God. Now, what do you want to do? You decide right now, do whatever you think best, for God will be with you. You're the captain of something incredible, something significant. You're the captain. God has a plan and a purpose for you in 2015. He said it to us today that it's big. It's really, really big. I've got a strategy. I got something for you. And literally, he's saying, come on. Come up here right now. I want you to experience a disruption. I want to make a deposit. And I want you to make the decision that this is going to be the year that God wants it to be. No more, no less, nothing else. It's going to be exactly what he has strategically planned for me. And we're going to bring it into manifestation and expression because God is for us and nobody can be against us. And what he's poured into my life is powerful. It's from the other realm. And I will be that man with that third hand. Look at him. He's got the hand of the Lord on him. Wow, that was my World Wrestling Federation voice. He's got the hand of the Lord on him. Whoa. I'll tell you. One more slide. Did I say that already? Let me say it again. Another slide. Be the kingdom. Be the kingdom. Just one thing. One thing's important this year. Be the kingdom. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't get frustrated with the past stuff. Don't worry about the donkeys. I need those donkeys. Don't worry about it. Forget the past. God's got something really incredible for you today, and you're the captain of it. He wants to do something big. And only one thing's important right now is abide in him, remain in him. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Come on, stand up with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I would have been done earlier, but all those people interrupted me. Hallelujah. That was that 4,000-point sermon. I know. What was he thinking? I mean, man, the hand of the Lord was on me. Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift up your hands. Say thank you, Jesus. Jesus, 2014, we say yes. Actually, we say bye-bye, 2014. 2015, thank you. Pastor stuck in last year. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. 2015, thank you for it, Lord. I'm going to be the kingdom this year. I'm going to be the kingdom this year. You know something I've simply done is I've chosen to be over-the-top kind to drive-through people. I know, it's just a choice I made. I've also decided that whenever somebody needs to merge, I'm going to back up and let them in.
Wow.
Just really, and you know, it may be fun, but all this week, and even in Barbados and stuff, I've been waiting for people. I've been kind to every service person. And you know, I'm going to say, that's what I'm doing this year. Saying it to Cheryl all the time. Look at that. I'm doing the stuff this year. Look at me, I'm changing the world one merge at a time. Hallelujah. You know what? Let be the kingdom. And sometimes being the kingdom is just let somebody in. Be the kingdom. Sometimes it's just the simple stuff. Be kind. Sometimes it's the little stuff like, excuse me, and wait your turn. Sometimes it's just those things that, you know what? We're all being the kingdom. It gets pretty incredible out there. Can I ask you something? Just once right here. You can put your hands down. But listen, is there anybody here you don't know Jesus? Like you don't know, you've never had that encounter with him where you'd say, I experienced that disruption in my life where I know that I was born from God, that something happened and I was born of God. I don't know that I've ever had that experience. Now every head is bowed and eye is closed, except for those that are texting on their iPods or whatever it is. Every eye is closed, but nobody's looking around, it's just you. But you know, you've never really had that encounter with God. You don't know. But you want to do it today. I'm just going to count to three. And if that's you, I'm going to pray with you before you go, okay? But it's really easy. All you got to do is put your hand up. I'll count to three and you say, I don't know, so I want to know. And you put your hand up. All right, you ready? One, two, three. Just raise your hand up really high so I can see it. Raise it up really high. Anyone? Anyone all across? Got a hand over here. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hey, would you guys all pray with me? Let's all pray together, okay? They're going to pray. You're going to pray. We're all going to pray. So you're going to pray this prayer. And you're just going to accept that Jesus accepts you. You're going to say, I receive the Holy Spirit. I receive you to come and just minister to me and show me everything I get in this wonderful, wonderful exchange. So we'll pray. You ready? Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking my sin and nailing it to the cross. Thank you for loving me and making a way for me to be a child of God. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. So come now, Holy Spirit. Make me alive. Come and flood me. Come and fill me. I know right now that I am forgiven. I'm free. I'm healed. I am a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.